self-harm, cutting oneself, tattoos, engraving images or words or concepts into your skin. What's going on here? These are two prohibitions in the Torah, and they emerge for us this week in Rav Hirsch's description in Chorev of a chayk, something that is not intuitively recognizable as a moral law or something that would draw us closer to God. But that's the realm of chukim. There are principles or premises that we don't have access to, but still they bring out from us a principle of justice that allows us to relate to God, relate to the world, and engage in our mission as Jews in a more profound way. The question is, how is this done? And this is what Rav Hirsch tries to do this week. He tries to give a suggestion about how these two laws really do paint for us a profound picture of our relationship with the world and Hashem. So that's what Rav Hirsch does in Chorev this week. So, welcome to the Judaism From Within podcast. I'm Simi, and let's jump right into it. We have these two commandments, not to cut yourself and not to tattoo. Now, what's going on here? I think the best way of bringing out the latent principles that are sort of submerged within these fairly opaque commandments, meaning on the face of things, you can understand why you shouldn't cut yourself. It's not healthy. You shouldn't be drawing blood for no reason. But people engage in this for a reason. They engage in it for acts of homage towards ideals, a sense of community, an expression of control. People do this for this unhealthy practice for more, well, darker and perhaps more psychologically troubling reasons. And obviously, anybody engaging in that should definitely seek help. But in ancient times, people would engage in these for, as I mentioned, expressions of homage to the gods, a show of commitment. You would brand yourself as a show that you are committed to a certain idea or a certain community. That we still see emerge today in different communities where taking on a certain amount of pain shows that you're committed to the community, allows you to bond with like-minded people by showing an active commitment. Interestingly enough, sometimes this is actually ideological. It's a longer conversation, but cutting oneself as an expression of a rite of passage, if you will. People often have a rite of passage through ideas, adopting ideas. Sometimes the ideas can be irrational and disconnected from the world, but almost the irrationality or the cut you had to make to your psyche to accept this profoundly bizarre concept is almost an expression of your homage and connection to the community. But that's a longer conversation for a different time. But let's focus here. We're talking about cutting yourself and tattoos. So we can understand why people do it. Why is the Torah against this? And tattoos. People want to etch in themselves a principle, an idea, something that's important to them, and walk around with it. Why is this a problem? And Rav Hirsch develops it on two fronts. And I think the best way of really bringing this out is to give a bit of background. The context in which this commandment arises is after the prohibition of eating blood, against omens and sort of the magical way of looking at the world. And Rav Hirsch sees, without going through each one of these commandments individually, Rav Hirsch sees it as a natural flow from one to another. To break it down, blood, not to eat blood, without breaking it out completely, but not eating blood is, the way the Talmud elaborates on this principle, is that when a person is engaging in a very base experience, you're eating, animals eat, you eat. So what does a Jew need to do? What does a human being need to do? They need to force their mind to be more refined in an expression that itself is very base. There's an aspect of us that we share with the animal kingdom that primarily is going to be eating. So when we engage in that, it shouldn't be with the blood. The Talmud delineates four expressions of this. For example, you shouldn't eat an animal while it's still quivering. Even though it was shechted in an appropriate way, you shouldn't eat from it while it's still kind of shivering in its death throes. We learn this from the commandment of not eating blood, or while the blood is still within the basin in the temple service. The blood itself, which represents that moral will, if it is still within the basin and hasn't been dashed, is once again not to eat in that context. Not to eat in the context of a more base reality, a more primal or a more unrefined experience. That's when you shouldn't be eating. And we learn this from the prohibition of eating blood. Another one of this is that the court shouldn't eat a meal when someone has been killed via execution, a criminal. They shouldn't eat. So the context in which we eat matters. And that is brought up by this idea of not eating blood. So you have the base experience of what it means to be a human being connected to the animal kingdom, and when you engage in that, it should be in a certain context. Refersh then goes on to the idea of omens, and he sort of sees one feed off the other. If a person looks at himself as merely an animal and doesn't refine the way he engages in eating, what is an outgrowth of this is that you start looking at the world, simply speaking, like a pagan. You start looking at the world for omens. You start trying to find patterns to the world that are irrational, that don't make sense. The cat crossing me across the street, whether it rained, whether it was on heads, whether it was on tails, you mistake, as Rav Hirsch puts it, causation and correlation, and you start drawing connections where they don't exist. And he sees this as an outgrowth of a paganistic, unrefined way of looking at the world. If you look at yourself just as another part of the biosphere, you start looking at the world like a pagan, like a irrational, disconnected individual. You no longer look at the world as being an expression of wisdom, that you can trace the ideas in the world, you can trace the laws in the world. You start looking at the world as this chaotic mess. You start worshipping gods of the sun, of the river, the bear, because you're in a confusing, disconnected world. But that's not the Jewish perspective. That's not the perspective the Torah is trying to give us. The perspective the Torah is trying to give us is that you should be connected to the world, of course, but it should be done in a refined way. You don't eat blood. You don't rely on omens and trinkets and astrology. So what's this connecting? How's this connected to cutting yourself? Well, Rav Hirsch sees these things coming together, specifically the blood and the omens, as an expression of the blood, the dignity of a human being. Remember, it is rising you above being a mere animal. And the omens, a recognition that your fate, your destiny, isn't random, isn't up to the whims of the gods. Now, these two of the paradigm have both expressions in the rest of the commandments that follow. The not eating of the blood has its expression in the way we don't cut our beard and cut our hair, which I'm not going to get into right now, that's going to come in a later class. But the expression of the omens, of recognizing my fate is under God, recognizing that there is a purpose to my life, recognizing there is meaning entrenched in my life, that the prohibition of not relying on omens is supposed to push me away from, an expression of that in my life is the prohibition of cutting myself. How so? By cutting myself specifically in the context when someone dies, because that's what the prohibition is about. When a person dies, people cut themselves. When people are in sorrow and mourning, they cut themselves, and the Torah says no. Why? Because when someone dies, you don't lose part of yourself. When someone dies, there is a gap that has been made that you need to fill. It is according of your destiny. You are being called to fill a gap. You don't cut yourself by implication that somehow part of you has been lost. That really is the connection to fate and destiny. You don't look at the world as this random place where the chaotic powers that be are playing with you, and when someone is taken from your life is forfeit. No, when someone is taken from us, there's a reason for it. They've gone back to their Father in heaven. They're on the next stage of their journey. These things are not random. Thereby, the same hand that took the dead to be with the Almighty is the same hand that is expecting you to continue your life. The connection between your life and your body isn't to be severed or damaged because someone else is no longer with you. Your recognition as an individual with purpose and with value is to be emphasized at a time like this, not diminished. If someone has left, there is a gap to fill. There is a responsibility to take up. Of course, I understand when a person genuinely experiences suffering, there can be a desire to experience pain as a way of expressing that sorrow. And my point isn't to judge or to question anybody going through a difficult or painful situation, but the principle Rav Hirsch sees in the prohibition of cutting oneself is a recognition that our fate isn't random, and things that happen to us happen for meaning and reason. Thereby, when something is done to us, when we experience suffering and tragedy, it's not meaningless. Thereby, to react to it as if it is meaningless, as it is the only way and the only genuine way for me to react to the pain is to cause more pain and make a deeper wound as an expression of in the ancient times of homage to the gods, but even in a modern context, as an expression of control, that I am in control, I still can control this. That's not the Jewish way. So you have the cutting of oneself as a form of control, as a form of reaching out and being the one in control at a time of suffering and sorrow, where this is the time to turn, to lean into the idea that there is purpose and meaning. And the second is tattoo. What does a person do when he tattoos? It's interesting because the halacha, when it comes to tattoos, is generally speaking around the idea of an idol. And it has its expression with other things as well, based off that principle. But even etching the name of God into your arm or into your body, what would be wrong with that? Or Rav Hirsch says, once again, oscillating around this idea of fate and nihilism, when you etch God's name into your arm, you're created in the image of God. Your value and your mission come by being born, not by you arbitrarily etching it into you. In any way you are, if anything, you uproot the inherent essential purpose you come to the world with and imprint it on yourself as an arbitrary subjective decision. Once again, really focusing in on that idea of your fate and your destiny. When it comes to etching or cutting oneself as a reaction to sorrow, as a desire for control, as a desire to react to the tragedy that we've experienced by causing more pain, Rav Hirsch sees that slipping away from recognizing that the suffering we experience has meaning behind it. The one who, and the way he really phrases it quite beautifully, the one who took your the loved one to be with him in this in the world that follows this is the same one that wants you to remain here. Thereby, it's your calling and your mission to lean into the idea of purpose and meaning at a time like this. Once again, I'm talking about this on the level of principle. On the level of experience, it's obviously a lot darker. And the idea of tattoo, once again, it is not an arbitrary mission. It is not an arbitrary destiny. It's not a fate that I choose. The point of the Jewish mission, the point of the Jewish history, is that it is an essential component to what it means to be a Jew, that we come to life with purpose. It's with us from the journey's beginning, not etched into us as we go along. Obviously, it's like he's sort of, what Rav Hirsch is doing is explaining on the more extreme level. I understand why I shouldn't etch the name of an idol into my arm, but why not the name of God? Rav Hirsch says that still misses the point. And we trace it back to this disconnect from the world, looking at the world as an expression of random arbitrary laws and powers, omens, astrology, the moving and the waxing and waning of the moon and having that an effect on my soul and etc., etc., trying to trace things, look at the world as a mechanistic system that either I can control or either I can predict. No, that's not the Jewish way. The world isn't random and chaotic. The world is a world of order, that you can trace the world, use your intelligence to experience the world. And that has its expressions in two prohibitions. The prohibition of cutting yourself, that when someone is taken from us, we don't look at it nihilistically, that we exert control, or that we have to make an etch and feel that part of us has died along with them. No, there is a purpose, there is a meaning behind the suffering, and we lean into that at a time of sorrow. And when it comes to our mission and our purpose, to tattoo oneself, even with the name of God, makes that individual's purpose and mission an arbitrary subjective decision, rather than an objective inherent one. So, not to cut and not to tattoo. This was a bit of a longer discussion, but it was not necessarily the easiest thing to really weave these ideas together. So, as always, thank you so much for taking the time. Hope you're all well, and until next time.